720 WGN. It's the Wintrust Business Lunch. Hello, everyone. John Hanson in for John Williams. And on the phone line is Stephen Esposito, who is the president of Yellowstone Wealth Management up in Lake Forest, YellowstoneWM.com. Hey, Stephen, how are you today?
Well, I'm good. How about you?
Good. I know a lot of people are kind of focused, maybe a little too hyper-focused on, whoa, is it going to be 25 basis point cut or 50 basis point cut when the Fed meets? But Stephen, I imagine what you'd say is like, as with everything, take a wider view on everything.
Oh, I absolutely agree. The volatility in the market is just out of control. And I think investors need to not be so obsessed with these short-term indicators and look out 12 to 18 months, and you know, whether the Fed goes 50 or 25, you know, make a short-term difference, but where are we going to be a year from now?
Yeah.
And we're talking 100 to 200 basis points lower potentially than we are today, whether it be 25 now or 50 and then 225s, it's not really going to make that much of a difference in the long run as an investor. It may for a trader, but I'm not a trader, so I think you're correct.
Right. I think most people listening here aren't traders. And that 150 to 200 basis points, what, that means a lot for our credit card percentages and maybe our new mortgages or refinances that we're doing. But you say that maybe perhaps how you deploy your assets should be maybe looked at because of this drop in the basis points. What do you mean by that?
Oh, absolutely. Well, think about if the Fed funds, you know, where can you go down? That's going to help mortgages. That's going to help companies who are invested in real estate, refi in their buildings, et cetera. You're looking at if you have 5% in a money market now and you're comfortable there, and imagine if it goes to 3.5, are you as comfortable as you were before? So a lot of the money may come off the sidelines and come out of those types of vehicles and go into dividend paying companies and may go into just stocks for a little bit more growth. It really depends. But the more rates go down, the less attractive sitting pat is to people. So you may want to get out ahead of it and look where you want to deploy those capital, which is what we're doing with clients every day.
I think I understand what you're saying there, Stephen. The idea is maybe for the last couple of years, one of the benefits of higher rates is, hey, I could buy treasury bills 13 weeks, just kind of have them rotating in, make 5.5% on those and not have to worry about the risk. Okay, but if the rate goes down, which again, we're saying it likely will and probably by 200 basis points, perhaps by a year from now, I don't feel great about that anymore. We're almost like returning to a TINA, right? There is no alternative. I'm not saying we're there yet, Stephen, but maybe get ahead of it is what you're suggesting.
Oh, yeah. Wayne Gretzky said it best. You have to skate to where the puck is going, not where it is. And that's what we have to do. We try to do every day is anticipate 1 to 3 years out where an investor should be for their risk tolerance and their investment goals, diversification. And we don't want to be sorry what we did yesterday. We want to look forward to where we're going to be,
right,
where the puck is going to be. And that's what I think you got to look at. So we know the Fed's going to cut. The question is how much and for how long. And inflation is down. Energy prices below $70 a barrel, et cetera. The future looks pretty good in that respect. And investors should really be looking more at where they can earn a great rate of return, probably in the market in many cases.
Yeah, and I just to complete the equation here, Stephen, it's just kind of dawning on me. You're saying skate to where the puck is. The idea is, well, people would say, well, why don't we just wait till the rates go down? You know, then I'll move my money somewhere else. What I imagine you're suggesting is if other people are looking ahead and they have bought already, they've moved that money because they know it's going to go down to make some action in the market, the prices might be higher if you wait till the end of the equation and you're going to get less bang for your buck. Is that kind of what you're suggesting?
No, absolutely. Our job as wealth managers is to anticipate where the markets are going to be going, what areas you should be in, whether you're retired or approaching retirement, whatever fits you best, and then handpick what we should do for you and guide it that way. And so, yeah, I mean, you don't want to wait till it's already gotten there because it's too late at that point. And then you're getting into you're selling out at the bottom, you're buying in at the top. So anticipate where it's going to be, the macro and micro parts of the economy, interest rates affected dramatically, tax rates. So we'll have to see going forward, but deploying capital when everybody's scared is usually the best time to do it.
Really quickly, Stephen, are you excited about not looking at every CPI data point so earnestly every single month?
I look at it because I have to, but it upsets me when the market, you know, gets so violent, and the average investor can lose a lot of sleep from that. And I just don't think that's right, but it is what it is. You know, we can't determine it. We have to play within it. And so, yeah, I would just ask the average investor, just don't pay so much attention to every headline that is out there and worry about this minutia. Again, look at the long-term situation 1 to 3 years out and you'll sleep better. You really will. And that's the conversation I have with clients every day.
Love that. Help Stephen Esposito will help you with your money and how to sleep better. He's the president of Yellowstone Wealth Management in Lake Forest, YellowstoneWM.com. Stephen, good stuff today. Talk soon, okay?
Thank you, sir.
John Hansen in for John Williams. And Bree Fowler will be the next voice you hear from CNET, senior writer. Hi, Bree. As always, good to chat with you.
Hi, great to be with you.
It's been on my list of things to talk about today. I haven't gotten to it yet, which is why I'm glad you are now. The private spacewalk that is happening up there, huh?
Yeah, nice to have money, right? A tech billionaire, he did the first private spacewalk hundreds of miles above the Earth this morning. And, you know, it's a risky thing that's usually reserved for professionals, but, you know, he is the first to do this for, as far as normal people go.
Right. And I noticed that he held on to the ship for most, if not all, the time, which I cannot blame him for. He has a tether, but I don't think that they tested him just floating out there, which makes sense. Bree, what is the commercial, besides just like people having to pay a bunch of money to do this, which I imagine can make money, but that wouldn't cover the cost of launching this rocket up there. What is the eventual payoff of this private enterprise where it used to be much more of a governmental responsibility?
Yeah, I mean, this is just another step in the privatization of the space industry. You know, he teamed up with SpaceX for this. And the part of the mission, so to speak, was to test the company's new spacesuits. You know, other people had them, the people inside the capsule were wearing these as well, just because of pressurization issues. And the spacewalk itself was really quick. The hatch was barely open about a half hour. Usually when astronauts do this, it's a lot longer. Usually they're doing repairs and things like that. But the more that, you know, we try this technology out and people use it, the better it can get, just like anything else in tech.
Yeah, it's interesting. They're kind of taking a similar track that like Gemini and Apollo did in terms of like figuring things out just from a private perspective and eventually some sort of commercial enterprise.
Yeah, I mean, it really, the sky's the limit, so to speak. I mean, we're not quite sure where this kind of stuff is going to go as far as a business model. But, you know, companies like SpaceX, they've definitely sunk a lot into R&D. And, you know, governments just don't want to fund this like they used to. You know, kids don't grow up wanting to really be astronauts anymore. It doesn't quite have the allure. So, you know, this is where private business can step in.
Okay. And by the way, I couldn't get it off. I couldn't figure it out. It's Gemini, Apollo, and why can't I remember the first one? The Mercury. There it is. I had to get it, Bree. I couldn't move on. The show had to stop until I figured that out. Okay, Mercury. That's right. All right. So let's talk a little bit about Apple iPhones. That was a huge drop of news, but I feel like these continue to get less exciting over time, Bree.
Yeah, I mean, remember the days when we used to, like, you know, cover people standing in line for these on opening day? You know, it would be stretched down the block in New York City. Now, you know, people pre-order when they need them. People are holding on to their phones longer. You know, phones get the security and the operating system updates that they need. And, you know, even if you shatter that glass or your battery dies, those things can be fixed. So, you know, people aren't upgrading like they used to. And, you know, there's only so many things you could do with phones. Now, Apple would argue that this year's crop of iPhones is revolutionary and is different because they are the first ones designed with Apple intelligence in mind. Apple's, you know, AI, you know, what they're calling it. So they will be a little bit different. They will have new capabilities that phones haven't before, but, you know, I don't know if that's enough to get people to, you know, shell out $1,000 for a phone.
I don't know. Maybe it's just they were so new. And even though the technology, like when you look at the whole scope of Apple from 1 to 16, the phones have progressed along incredibly. But maybe even in those early days, the leaps and bounds weren't as big as we remember them to be now. I don't know.
I just remember, you know, when it finally took over from my camera.
Yeah,
and going on a European vacation and not taking my big DSLR camera and just using my phone, and how much it was able to take the place of that, you know. Not, you know, I remember my dad with the video camcorder at, you know, school music performances and stuff. And those days are gone. Now you just have tons of parents with phones that block your view.
So, I'm just so glad we didn't have the iPhone in college. That's all I'm going to say.
Exactly. Thank goodness. If somebody wants to put embarrassing photos of me online, they're going to have to scan them in.
Exactly. And if they go to that much effort, so be it. You win.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah, they probably all faded anyway at this point.
Yeah, right. Let's talk a little bit about kids and social media. Of course, our own Surgeon General now putting warnings on what's happening with social media. Our European counterparts usually are further ahead in this game. You're going down under to look a little bit at how Australia's handling this, right?
Yeah. I mean, countries all over the world are trying to figure out what to do with this, especially dealing with kids. And it's tough. Like, I'm a parent. I have a teenager. I have a tween. You know, dealing with them and social media and policing what they do and what they see is just impossible. And some countries, Australia, is looking to now pass legislation that would enforce a minimum age for kids to access it. Now, how they would verify the age and what age that would actually be are still up for debate, but this has become a big political issue for them. The opposition party that's trying to come into government, they're promising that they will get this through if they get elected. So, you know, clearly it's important to people and to countries all over the place.
Yeah, I feel like we're finally coming to consciousness about that. And in fact, school banning phones in general has been a rising and a quick rising movement here in the United States as local jurisdictions. They're the ones taking over for this. The federal government hasn't done really anything about this, but they're testing a lot of new policies. It's hard. Kids want to have their phone out of schools. It's hard for teachers to enforce, but I think most of the research, Bree, now shows that they probably shouldn't have them.
Yeah, it's tough, though, because, you know, like, I'm in New York City and my kids go to public school and my daughter goes to school, you know, 10 miles away in Manhattan. And I want her to have a phone. I want to be able to reach her or text her or, you know where she is because I can ping it. But at the same time, I don't want her playing with in class. And God forbid, you know, these kids, they now have access to ChatGPT and AI. They can use their phones to cheat in ways that, you know, they couldn't a few years ago.
Yeah, back in our day, we had to have a little mirror on our shoe or whatever we used to do to see the answers.
Yeah, you might have done the palm of your hand.
Yeah, exactly. Bree, we're out of time. As always, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Bree Fowler from CNET. Great stuff. So excited to introduce you, and I've had a chance to chat with Chuck Freilich, president of Tag Outlet, thetagoutlet.com. Chuck, how are you? Welcome to WGN.
I'm doing great, John. Great to be here with you and your fans.
Yeah, we were talking during the commercial break. I was asking him, peppering him with questions, and at one point he said, wait, are we on the air? No, we are now, though, Chuck. I just want to make sure you know that.
Thank you, John.
Yeah, the red light is on. Okay, Tag Outlet, tell us a little bit about where you got started and what you do.
Sure. So thanks again, John, for having me here today.
Of course.
We are, Tag is a Chicago-based company. Well, we've been in the Chicago area for 50 years. We're going to be 50 years old next year.
Congrats.
So a big celebration for us. And we're a lifestyle brand. And we're a B2B, so we're a wholesale distributor. And we're a lifestyle brand. And when we say a lifestyle brand, we're basically indicating that we don't just sell product. So we sell products that have functional benefits, but when we put our logo on that product, there's an emotional connection based on the trust and loyalty that we've had with our customers for the last 50 years. So there's a good quality, there's great creative, and it's great design and great artwork. So we have a lifestyle brand that we're very proud of that's been established in the gift and home industry for 50 years now.
Okay, so I mean, I get that brand, and I think you teased there at the end. So the things you actually sell, the products that attribute to that brand, are the things that we would, what, furnish our homes and businesses with?
Absolutely. So we feel we have every room of the house covered for her, the lady of the household, and for the men, but primarily for she. And so some of the key product categories we have are candles. We do a lot of textile products, may they be dish towels, napkins, tablecloths, and runners. We do a lot of ceramic tabletops, so a lot of plates, a lot of mugs, a lot of dinnerware. We also do have a lot of glassware, drinkware, do a lot of rugs, and a lot of product for outdoor entertaining as well. So big entertaining kind of product categories.
Not the furniture or some furniture too?
We do not do furniture.
Okay.
Yes.
I just want to make sure people know exactly what we're chatting about, because those little things, and I'm putting little in quotes because they are smaller in size maybe than the big couch, but it's often those little things that kind of set you in your style of who you are when you walk into someone's home. Sure, you notice the furniture, but it is those candles, those runners, those accents that you do to really kind of make a home a home.
That is correct. Absolutely correct. And, you know, our primary customer base is that independent specialty customer. So we've been, we have a very talented product development team that works very hard on creating products for she. She is the primary consumer. She's managing a lot in the household, the family, managing the family, managing the kids. And she also has a career. So a lot of the products that we're looking to develop is to make her life easier. And we do a lot of everyday and seasonal products. So basically, we make product for every room of the house and allow her to continue to change the house, kitchen being the primary room of the house where most people gather. But a lot of the products we make are for that area.
Chuck Fralick here from Tag Outlet. You've been around for 50 years in the Chicago neighborhood. If someone's saying to themselves, wait, I'm surprised, 50 years I haven't heard. It's because, as you mentioned, for the bulk of your business for a long time, and we'll get to how consumers can get involved here, everyday listeners, but it's business to business. So people may be buying things that you guys do and not quite realize it because it was from a store that's not your store, right?
That is correct. That is correct. We're developing our product for the independent specialty boutique stores across North America. So you'll find the Tag brand inside those stores.
Okay, and you find that Tag brand in there. And that's interesting because you guys focus on those boutique stores that maybe know their zip code the best, may know their street the best, whether it's Andersonville or some of these great neighborhoods with shops. And they buy from you, but you still maintain that local touch. That must be important to you as well.
It's very important. Our heritage is very important to us. We've always been a Chicago-based company. Most of our employees are all here based in Chicago. All of our development is done here in Chicago. So it's been our home for 50 years.
Yeah, that's an interesting point you bring up because when we go to a boutique shop, I think there's maybe this notion that someone made it in the back. Well, that's not true. They bought it somewhere, but they love a brand that recognizes the importance of local. They don't want to put things on their shelves that don't abide by their core beliefs, too. And you guys align with their core beliefs, even if you're a bigger company selling to the smaller one.
That's correct. And I think that, you know, I mentioned a lifestyle brand earlier. There's a lot of responsibility that comes with that. One is we appreciate the fact that you just can't walk into this business and say you have brand recognition.
Mm-hmm.
You have to get that. You've got to get that loyalty. You got to get that trust. And it gets developed over many years. And so with that is a responsibility as we look forward with the business. And so how are we going to continue to keep the lifestyle brand moving forward? So there's expectations that we have now built based on quality, based on innovation and design that that we have to continue to adhere to as we look forward.
I do want to make sure we get this tent sale here. We'll maybe dive into it again a little later, but let's talk about what's happening this weekend because you do have an outlet store. It's been on the Northwest side for a couple of years now. We want to make sure people know you have a sale, that it's there. Tell me the details.
Absolutely. So the Tag Outlet store, we're located over on the corner of Elston Avenue and Sacramento.
Mm-hmm.
As you mentioned, this coming weekend is our an annual tent sale event. It's going to be running from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. This Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And the outlet stores are a very important component of our business. One of our core values is giving back to the community. So this is an opportunity for local Chicago people to come in and buy direct from the Tag Outlet store. It's also a great opportunity for Tag to give back to the community. So a lot of shop to share. We also do a lot of non-charity events throughout the year, Common Pantry being one of them, where it gives us the ability to give back to the local community and some animal shelters, et cetera. So it's an ability for local Chicago people to buy direct at our outlet store and also gives us the ability to give back and our outreach program to the local community.
Yeah, and like you said, you can find your products all over the place, but what better place to find it all in one place? Maybe your whole home from the basement on up needs a little bit of refreshing. And I think that that can be what this is all about, right? I think all of us need a little refresh now and again. For some people, that's knocking down the walls and starting over. For some people, that's restarting from the whole furniture on up. But I feel like what you guys offer is a chance for maybe a little less hit on the budget to just kind of brighten things up a little bit in the home.
Absolutely. I mean, obviously, there's going to be a lot of product available this weekend. It's going to be a lot of product that the Tag is very familiar and known for in the core product categories I mentioned to you earlier. But you're going to find things at a great value this weekend. So you're going to be coming in and purchasing things for up to 70% off of our normal wholesale value.
Oh, wow.
So this is going to be a great opportunity for people to know that, A, Tag is back. The outlet store is back. We're back touching that local community. And when they come in and shop, they're going to have an ability to have a great savings this weekend as well.
All right, when you say tent sale, is the store open and is there going to be a tent outside as well?
There is, actually.
So there is a tent at the tent sale.
There is a tent in the tent sale.
Just making sure.
So the whole parking lot is being filled with a tent, and we're bringing a lot of additional product out into the tent. And the store itself will also be open. The store that's open 5 days a week now will also be open for shopping.
3310 North Elston, in the parking lot of the corner of Elston and Sacramento. I think Elston is one of the most, first of all, one of the quickest ways to get around in our city. It's like a hidden secret street that I don't think enough people use. I shouldn't say that too loudly, especially with all the Kennedy construction going on. 3310 North Elston, 10 to 6 on the weekend. Is it Friday, Saturday, and Sunday?
Friday, Saturday, and Sunday.
Okay.
We also took care of one other thing.
Yeah.
We took care of the weather. So it's going to be 80 degrees and sunny for all 3 days. So yeah. It's going to be a great... great product, great discount, and also great weather. We took care for you.
Can you stick on around a little bit longer? I have some questions about some trends in your business. That sound good?
Sure. Sounds great,
right.
John.
Yeah, we've got Chuck Fralick again. And that's Tag Outlet, thetagoutlet.com, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday at 3310 North Elston there in the parking lot in the Avondale District. Okay, well, I want to know, like, there was a minimalist trend for a long time. I think we're going back a different direction. Let's get a look at the Wintrust Business Minute. Here's Ryan Burrow.
Start your timer. It's time for the Wintrust Business Minute, sharing Chicago's business news of the day. McDonald's is extending its popular $5 summer deal into December in most markets, including Chicago. McDonald's hopes the move continues to draw customers looking to make the most of their money, with many feeling food prices have gotten too high. McDonald's also plans to reset its $1, $2, and $3 value offerings. There's a lot of money on the line for this weekend. Live Tour in Bolingbrook. Golfers competing at the Bolingbrook Golf Club will be competing for $20 million in the individual competition and $5 million in the team competition. Three players will also be picking up bonus checks for their season performances, with the top finisher getting an additional $18 million. And starting this week, you can use your cell phones to pay for services at the Illinois DMV. The Secretary of State's office is now accepting Apple Pay, Google Pay, and Samsung Pay at its 150 driver service facilities across the state. That's your Wintrust Business Minute. I'm Ryan Burrow.
All right, business of food. I'm hungry. Steve Alexander.
Yeah, thank you. And in case you didn't know, agriculture is a big deal in Illinois.
We are the largest economic engine in the state and a significant employer.
Yeah, it's the state's and the world's most essential industry. But
we're seeing a significant growing gap in the general public's interest and awareness of opportunities that span food and ag careers and jobs.
So the Illinois ag industry is taking its message of great jobs and great pay and great opportunity directly to high school students. More about that after I thank the Chevy Silverado for sponsoring us today. There's never been a better time to put a Silverado in your toolbox. Find out how at ChevyDriveChicago.com. Tyler Strom is on the phone. He's managing director of the Illinois Agri-Food Alliance.
Or as we call it, ALAFA.
Some of the biggest movers and shakers in Illinois agriculture are involved in ALAFA and its new Igniter program.
It brings together career professionals to join either in person, or we do live video chats as well, with classrooms across the Chicagoland area to showcase the diversity of career opportunities and help to increase that awareness among students.
The problem ALAFA is trying to solve is access.
If you look at the Chicago public school system, for example, we have over 100,000 high school students. Less than 1% of them have an opportunity to connect to ag education programming in the classroom during the school year.
So they go into schools with what they call an ag takeover day, such as they did at Marshall High School.
We brought in five different career professionals over the course of the day, met with over 200 students at Marshall High School. We heard from the teacher how immensely impactful that day was for students.
Yeah, the program is expanding the number of schools it'll take over, or at least be present in this year, and there's a wide range of jobs in ag.
There's opportunity for everyone. There is sustainable living wage work in food and agriculture.
If you want the Igniter program in your school, or if you are in the industry and you'd like to share your career path with high schoolers, there is a website.
Igniter.org. It's A-G-N-I-T-O-R.org.
Tyler Strom of the Illinois Agri-Food Alliance. From the dairy farm to your belly, it's National Chocolate Milkshake Day. I'm Steve Alexander. That's the business of food on 720 WGN.
John Hansen in for John Williams. Chair number two occupied by Chuck Fralick. He's the president of Tag Outlet, thetagoutlet.com. And Chuck, you know, I'm sure a lot of people in the business community know your name. A lot of Chicagoans may know a little bit more of the story of the owner, the founder of the Tag Outlet. He was a kind of a pillar in our community, right?
Absolutely, John. I appreciate you asking me that. Yeah, Norman Glassberg is our visionary and founder of the business. Started it almost 50 years ago at this point. Unfortunately, we lost Norman about 12 years ago at this time. Strong product gentleman. Had a great vision and a great leader for the Tag organization for many years. So every day when I come into the office, I feel his presence. And we want to continue to make him proud of what we're doing with the legacy of the brand that he created. And so when we come in every day, I ask the team, if Norman was to walk in the room today, will he be smiling? And I tell them that he would be very proud of the hard work that our employees have done to keep his legacy moving forward.
And I imagine part of that legacy, just not knowing him, but based on what you've said, includes that give back to the community too.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's one of the core values of our company. It's one of the pillars of what we strive for every day. And our ability to reach back into the community is extremely important to us. And I know it was very important to Norman.
From a business sense, giving back to the community, sometimes I think some businesses look at it as maybe they're going to lose some dollars because they're donating some of their profits to X, Y, or Z. But I imagine that for you guys, it's a motivational factor to keep not only that connection with the community, to build a strong community around you, connection with customers, connection with people that, you know, there's a give and take with the brand then almost.
Correct. It's not just looking at a tax deduction at the end of the day, right? It's not just a business decision that we're making here. It's people. And we want to make sure that the things we're doing are connecting with our employees. There's a lot of opportunities out there to give back, but we want to make sure we're connecting with those nonprofits in the area and the local community. So as we know, there's a lot of opportunity, a lot of nation and global opportunities out there for give back, but we wanted to be very specific and focused on what we're doing and giving back and the local community because we felt it would connect better with our employees. And so not only just giving, you know, shop to benefit opportunities in the outlet store and giving proceeds back to these nonprofits, but we also have the ability with the Common Pantry I mentioned where we actually volunteer. We go down with our employees and give our time as well throughout the year.
That's great. Again, we're chatting with Chuck from Tag Outlet. And if people are just joining us, you guys do textiles. It's a lot of the things all over the home that make a home, the candles, the wall decor, whatever it may be, the things that kind of add the accents all over the place. I feel like we are coming out of a phase of minimalism and no color, where a lot of rooms in the house were very basic. That's how we kind of liked it, very clean cut. Not everyone, of course. Are we starting to see a return to more pops of color, things along those lines?
Color is very important in our business. It gives us the opportunity, to your point, there's still some people who feel that neutral is the way to go. Mm-hmm. The Tag brand is a very colorful brand, very whimsical brand, especially around the holiday season. So the people who are gravitating towards our brand, our lifestyle brand, are those that are looking for that pop of color. So you can have big furniture, big purchases in the home, but bringing in our pieces and the accent and bringing that color allows you to change the style and the mood of the room throughout the year, not only on a seasonal basis, but also on an everyday basis as she continues to evolve and keep it fresh.
Yeah, and that's actually a great point that even if you have neutral walls, which are very in, even the cabinetry, whatever it is, maybe the more affordable way to kind of refresh the way of looking at things is by adding the pop of colors that you guys offer.
Absolutely. I mean, you take a pillow, for instance. You can walk into a room where you know, a lot of the furniture today is very expensive, and these are big, sometimes one-time purchases. You have the ability to make that sofa come to life several times throughout the year by just changing pillow covers and changing that color and that design. And so as your guests come in, because entertaining is big, as your guests continue to come into the house, they can see a big refresh going on.
We'll remind people about the tent sale again in one more moment, but you guys, your core business is selling to smaller boutique businesses. What is that relationship like? Do you have to have conversations with store owners about what they're hearing, what they like, what's going off the shelves, analyzing what works or doesn't work to adjust what you guys do on a larger scale, still local here in Chicago, but on a larger scale to respond to the needs and trends?
It's a great question. We're generally working about 18 to 24 months out. So So we'll have to always be looking forward. So in some cases, we like to be trend setting in our little niche of the world. We have a very experienced and talented product development team. So we're basically working 18 to 24 months out, making some assumptions and also setting some trends and color decisions as we look forward. We're also being influenced Europe. Sometimes they're a little bit ahead of the U.S. curve.
Interesting.
So we're looking at what they're doing, and we're traveling overseas to see what those trends are looking like, just to some of our influence.
When you say that, hold on, I got to stop you there. Does that mean like going into hotels and seeing what the trends are, reading their publications? Or are you knocking on doors, talking to experts? Like, what does that look like?
Well, there's industry shows. So number one, there's shows and forums that you can go to over there. There's also retail that's over there. So you have the ability to walk in retail. So you can feel the trends that are going on in Europe by visiting and shopping in their stores. And you can also attend these international shows that are happening throughout the year.
That's so cool.
And then we come back here to the States, and we also have showrooms in Atlanta and Dallas and Las Vegas, and we have industry shows several times a year. And we have the ability, we say we're a listening organization, so we want to understand what our customer needs are. So, you know, we have over 3,000 active SKUs in our line, a lot to offer, and sometimes they're not all 100% accurate and right. And we also want to know when we're not right. So we want to listen so we can continue to pivot, because at the end of the day, the North Star is the customer.
Absolutely. Okay, so if you are interested in seeing what was popular perhaps in Europe and will be soon, get ahead of the trends. Go to the Tag Outlet 10th sale. It's this weekend, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. at the location, at the outlet store that's about 2 years old at 3310 North Elston in the parking lot. 3310 North Elston, the Tag Outlet 10th sale, thetagoutlet.com. Chuck, great to meet you, my friend.
John, it's a pleasure talking with you. Thank you very much.
Absolutely.